B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shabbos Daf Mem Tes. We're going to start four lines from the top of the Amud. We saw in the Mishnah on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, in the second half of the Mishnah, that regarding Tevin, Zagin, Muchin, and Asovin, they are Moisif Hevel, they increase and add heat to the already hot pot or other container that's being nitman, that's being insulated, and it's being put into the insulation before Shabbos, but they only add heat if they are lach, if they are damp, moist, and not dry. Says the Gemara, Bizman Sheim Lachin, Iboyelu, who asks the Gemara, Lachin Machmas Atzmon, Oidilma Lachin Machmas Dovar Achir. When it says that these things, the straw, the grape skins, the cotton, the wool, and the grasses, that they are only Moisif Hevel when they are damp, is that a natural dampness that comes from themselves, from their own internal dampness? Or is it even some dampness that comes externally? They got wet somehow. Toshima, we're going to bring proof from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Loi b'teven, v'loi b'zagin, v'loi b'muchin, v'loi b'asovin. Four things are mentioned, and all of those are only Moisif Hevel, b'zman sheim lachin, when they are not dry, when they are somewhat damp or moist. Says the Gemara, I amres b'shleim melachin machmas davar achir, if they are moisif hevel, even if they are damp from an external source, then I can understand the Mishnah Shapir, it makes sense. Elo I amres lachin machmas atzmon, but if you say that the dampness must be coming from them themselves, not from an external liquid or external source, then muchin lachin machmas atzmon heichem ishkachas lo. What's muchin? Muchin are pieces of cotton, pieces of wool. Where do we find that these muchin, these soft materials, where should they have any dampness coming from themselves? The grass, the straw, I can understand that when they're fresh, they're still a bit damp. But muchin? Where's muchin machmas atzman? Where are they going to be damp from their own? Heicha mishkachas lo, how's that going to, in what situation is that going to happen? Says the Gemara, memarto debeina atmi. If one, it's talking about those type of muchin, which are pieces of wool that have been shorn away from between the thighs of the animal, and since between the thighs there's sweat, then this wool has a natural and an internal dampness in it, and that's the muchin that we're talking about in our Mishnah, which is Moisif Hevel. Continues the Gemara, V'hod etoni reboishia, toimnin b'ksus yaveisha u'bepeiros yaveishin. In the Brice of Rabbi Oishia, they said, one is allowed to insulate a pot in dry clothes or dry fruits, but not in a damp clothes or garments, and not with damp fruits, because they are Moisif Hevel. Asks the Gemara, where are you going to have a garment that has a natural dampness to it? A garment is a dry piece of material. Says the Gemara, Mimarata Debeini Atma, we're talking about that the garment was made of the wool that was shorn from between the thighs of the animal, and that wool has a natural sweat, a natural moist in it, and the clothes that are made from this material, they also retain some of the moisture, and those are the garments which are Moisif Hevel, and one is not allowed to insulate in them on Shabbos. Or one's not allowed to put a pot in those materials even before Shabbos to stay hot on Shabbos. Continues the next Mishnah. Toimnin b'ksus. One is allowed to, so to speak, insulate on Erev Shabbos in ksus, in a garment, or b'peiros, and in fruits, or b'kanfei yoina, and dove's feathers. The word kanfayona is literally translated as dove's wings, but one would insulate a pot by submerging it into a box or into a pile of feathers. Ubenesiris shel charoshim, and the sawdust of carpenters. Ubenoires shel pishton dako, and the fine combings from flax. That means when one would comb flax, then little bits of flax would come away. The fine pieces of fat of flax, those are these na'iras, these combings, and one is allowed to be toimen in them, you're allowed to put a pot in them on Erev Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda oiser bedaka or matir begaso. Rabbi Yehuda says that If it's fine, it's moisef hevel, and therefore you're not allowed to insulate a hot pot or container, even from before Shabbos, in the flax, which is fine. But if it's coarse, then it's not moisef hevel, and it's mutter. And the Gemara is going to discuss if Rabbi Yehuda is only talking about the flax combings, or if he's also talking about the sawdust of the charoshim. Says the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yanai, Tfilin tzrichin guf noki. When a person is wearing tfilin, he has to have a clean body. How clean? Ke Elisha bal knofayim, like Elisha, who was the winged one, the master, the owner of wings. Mayhi, what was so unique about Elisha? Abaya Omar shelo yafiach ben. Abaya says that a person, before he puts on tfilin, he has to have an absolute guarantee, and he has to be comfortable knowing that he's not going to pass gas whilst wearing tefillin. If he's not sure in himself that he can control himself, then we assume that he cannot control himself and he's not allowed to wear tefillin. Rava Omar. Rava says, Shelo yishan bohen. It's enough if a person is sure that he's not going to fall asleep in them. But if he knows he's not going to fall asleep, he's allowed to put on tefillin, and we take it for granted that every person can control himself from passing gas whilst he's awake. Continues the Gemara, V'amai kori lei bal knofayim. Why was Elisha deserving of this title, the winged one? What was it between Elisha and the wings? Says the Gemara, Shepam achas gozor malchus roi mi harosha, the wicked nation of Rome, the kingdom of Rome, they decreed that they were not allowed to wear tefillin. Gezeir al Yisrael, shekol ameniach tefillin, anybody who puts on tefillin, yinakru es moichoi, they would poke out, they would gorge out the part of his brain on which the tefillin were sitting. V'hoyo Elisha manichom, Elisha was not moved by this decree, and he wore the tefillin. V'yotze l'shuk, not only he wore the tefillin, he was not embarrassed, he was not afraid, he went out to the marketplace with his tefillin on. Ra'uhu kazdur echod, an officer saw him. Rotz mipon of Elisha, tried running away from the officer. V'rotz acharov, and the officer ran after him. V'kiven she'igia etzlei, as soon as the officer reached Elisha, notlon miroishoi, Elisha took the tefillin off his head, v'ochzon biyodoi, and he held them inside his hands. Omar loy, this officer said to Elisha, maze biyodcha, what are you holding in your hand? Omar loy, Elisha said, kanfe yayno, dove's wings. Poshatis yodo, he opened his hand, v'nimtzu kanfe yayno, and what he was holding in his hands was perceived to this officer as dove's wings. It could be they became dove's wings, but either way, it was the dove's wings that saved Elisha. Lefikach kerenoise Elisha bal knofayim, that's why Elisha is known and referred to with this title, the winged one. Ask the Gemara, ma'ishno kanfe yayno, why did Elisha choose to compare tefillin to the wings of a dove? Mishar oifa is more than the wings of any other bird. Says the Gemara, Mishum de imsil knesses Yisrael leyoina, because Klal Yisrael are compared to a dove. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Kanfe yoina nechbo bakesef, the Klal Yisrael are compared to the wings of a dove that are coated in silver. And the Gemara explains, Ma yoina, in the same way as the wings of a dove are unique, that kanfeho megino yisoleo, that not only does it stay warm because of the feathers on its wings, but also it protects itself also from the cold and also from its enemies with its wings. Other birds fend off enemies in other ways. The dove fends off its enemies by flapping its wings. Af Yisrael, so too, mitzvos magino yisaleim, the mitzvos are compared to our wings that protect us whenever we need protection. And that's why Elisha compared the tefillin to the wings of a dove. Continues the Gemara. We saw in the Mishnah that according to the Tanakhama, one is allowed to submerge a hot pot, before Shabbos in Nesoiris Shel Charoshim and or Benoiris Shel Pishton Daka, or in fine flax combings. Rabbi Yehuda then commented and said that if it's fine, if it's Daka, it's Moisef Hevel, and therefore it's Asa, it's only Mutter when they are coarse. The question is, was Rabbi Yehuda only talking about the combings of the flax, or was he also talking about the sawdust that was mentioned before that? Says the Gemara, Iboy Elohu, That's going to be the question in the Gemara now. Rabbi Yehuda, anasoyres shel charoshim koi, is he also referring to the sawdust of the charoshim? Oi, anasoyres shel pishton koi, or is he only referring to the combings of the flax? Toshema, the Tanya we learnt in a brisa, Rabbi Yehuda oimer, anasoyres shel pishton dako harehu kezevel. He's only referring to na'oiras shel pishton, to the combings of the flax. In that case, if it's fine, then it's kazevel, it's like manure. And we said previously in the perek that it's moisiv hevel, and one's not allowed to do hatmona in it. Shema minah, from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda only mentioned na'oiras shel pishton, he's clearly only referring to na'oiras shel pishton, but in the case of na'oiras shel charoshin, he does not make any difference, and even daka is going to be muta. Anoiras shel pishton koishma mino, that's proof that Rabbi Yehuda is only talking about the combings of the flax. Continues the next Mishnah. Toimnin b'shalochin, one is allowed to submerge, insulate an already hot container in shalochim, in animal skins, in hides. And one is allowed to move these hides on Shabbos. Begizei tzemer, one is allowed to be toimen a pot into shearings of wool. Ve'ein metaltelin oison. But the wool shearings, they are mukta, and even though one is allowed to put a pot inside it before Shabbos, they are mukta. You're not allowed to move these shearings directly on Shabbos. Keitzatu oisa. The pot is inside these shearings. If he's not allowed to touch the shearings, then how is he going to get his pot out? Says the Mishnah, Noitel es hakisui, he's allowed to remove the lid of the pot, and even though there's a bit of the wool shearings which are mukta on top of the lid does not become a bosis, a base for the wool shearings, because the purpose and sole intentions of a lid is to cover the pot, not to hold the shearings. So he lifts up the lid, the shearings will fall away. They will fall away on their own. You're not touching the shearings directly, and then you can take out the pot. That these shearings with the pot inside are obviously in some larger box holding these shearings. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says you have to tilt the box in a way that when you remove the pot, you're going to be guaranteed that the shearings are not going to fall in, are going to collapse into the hole, the cavity where the pot was before. Shemo yitel ve'ino yochel leharzir. Because if you take it out without tilting the box in that position, then when you take out the pot, the shearings may fall in, and then you'll want to put the pot back, you won't be able to, and you're not allowed to move the shearings because they are mukta. V'chachomim oimrim noitel umarzir. The Chachamim say you can take the pot out and put the pot back, and we'll see in the Gemara what point the Chachamim are arguing with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Says the Gemara, Yosef Rabbi Yonason ben Achnoi, v'Rabbi Yonason ben Elazar, the two Rabbi Yonasons were sitting, v'Yosef Rabbi Chanina bar Choma Gabayu, Rabbi Chanina bar Choma was sitting by them, v'Kamiboilu, and they were discussing the following question, Shalochin shel balabayis. We saw in the Mishnah that one is allowed to insulate, you're allowed to put pots into the skins, the hides, before Shabbos. Umetaltelinoison, and they are not mukta. The question was that shalochin shel balabayis tenan, is the Mishnah only referring to those hides, those skins that belong to a private owner, and he's not intending to sell them? He's just going to use them himself, and therefore they are not mukta, and you're allowed to move them on Shabbos. Aval shel uman, but if they belong to a professional who's going to sell these hides, these skins, and he's not going to use these skins for anything else, then the skins would be mukta. Kiven de kopid alayu, since he's very makpid, he's very particular not to use them for anything else that could ruin them, that could dirty them, and therefore lo mitaltelin lehu, and one would not be allowed to move those hides on Shabbos. Oy dilma, or possibly, shel uman tnan. The Mishnah is talking about that even those hides that belong to professionals are not mukta. V'kolshken shel balabayis, and it goes without saying that the hides that belong to private people are not mukta. That was the question. Omer lehu Rabbi Yonason ben Elazar. Rabbi Yonason ben Elazar said as follows. Mistabra it's probable, it's logical, shel balabais tnan, that the Mishnah was only talking about the hides belonging to private people, avol shel uman kopid alayu, but those hides that belong to professional tanners, and they are going to tan the hides and sell them, they are mukta. Omeluhu Reb Chanina bar Choma. Reb Chanina bar Choma said to Reb Yonasan ben Elazar, kach omer Reb Shmuel ber Reb Yosi. I know that Reb Shmuel ber Reb Yosi said, in the name of his father, Reb Yosi, that Abba Shalcha Hava, that his father, Reb Yosi, he was a professional tanner. And in the weekdays of Omar, he would say, Haviu Shalochim, bring me some of the skin, some of the hides, v'neshiv alein, so we can sit on them. They're comfortable to sit on. So you see that even though he was a professional tanner, he was not makbid. So you see that, according to this, it would make sense that even the hides belonging to the professionals are not mukta on Shabbos. Maisvi, the Gemara is going to ask a contradiction to this. Nesorim shel balabais, the boards, wooden boards belonging to private people, metaltelin oisom, they're not mukta. V'shel uman, but if they belong to professionals, to the carpenters, ein metaltelin oisom, they are mukta, because we assume that a carpenter would not want to use these boards for anything besides for selling it to potential buyers, and therefore they are mukta. V'im chishiv losis aleim pas la'urchen, if he intended using these boards on which to bring, to carry the bread to the guests, then bein kach u'bein kach metaltelin, then even if though he's a professional, they are not mukta. So you see here that the boards of a balabais, unless he had specific intentions to use them for his guests, they're mukta. And this seems to contradict what we said a moment earlier, that the hides of the professionals are not mukta. Says the Gemara, Shani Nesorim Dekopid Olayu. People are more makbid on the boards, they are easier to get ruined than the skins. Even those professionals are not concerned, they're not makbid about the hides, but they are concerned and makbid about the boards, and therefore they are mukta. Continues the Gemara. Toshma, we saw in a brisa, oirois regarding hides, skins, bein avudim, both if they have been tanned, ubein she'ein avudim, and also if they have not been tanned, mutter letaltal on b'Shabbos, they are not mukta on Shabbos. Loi omron avudim, the difference between whether the skins have been tanned or not is only elol inyan tumah bilvad. In Hilchas Tumah, only tanned skins, tanned hides, are roi, are able to become tumah, but untanned hides are not called a kli, they do not become tumi. My love, says the Gemara, we can assume that this braisa, lo yishno shel balabais, lo yishno shel uman, that this is referring not only to the to hides belonging to private people, but also to the professionals. And we see in the braisa explicitly that even though they have been tanned, nonetheless they are not mukta. Says the Gemara, loy, no, do not bring proof from this braisa. No, this braisa is talking about shel balabais. Only the skins of a balabais, they are not mukta, even though they've already been tanned. Avol shel uman mai, but what's going to be with the hides of the professionals? Ein metaltelin, in the event that they have been tanned, they are mukta, because he is makbid not to use them for anything besides for selling them to whoever's going to buy them, and therefore they are mukta. Asks the Gemara, Ihochi, Hodetoni, this that the Brisa says, V'loi omru avudin, elo le'inyan tumah bilvad, the difference between whether skins have been tanned or not tanned is only in Hilchas Tumah, lifleg v'lisna b'didei, why don't you say that within the same halacha you've already mentioned, there's a difference between tanned and not tanned, that b'me dvarim amurim, when is it true that the skins, both avudim as well as not avudim, are not mukta, mutter letaltalon b'Shabbos, that's b'shel balabais, only if they belong to a private person. Avol b'shel uman, but regarding if their skins, the hides, belong to a professional, loy, in that case, there's a difference between tanned and not tanned, that if they've not been tanned, they're not mukta, because he doesn't mind using them. But once they've been tanned, they are mukta. So within the halachas of mukta on Shabbos, there's already a difference between tanned and not tanned if they belong to a professional. So why does the Braisa move over to Tumah and say that that's where there's a difference between if they've been tanned or not? Says the Gemara, no. Kula balabais kumairi. This Bryce is only talking about the skins of a balabais. So the Bryce opens up by saying that regarding Shabbos, the skins of the balabais are never mukta on Shabbos, even if they've been tanned. And then the Bryce says that these skins belonging to a balabais, in Hilchos Tumah, there will be a difference between if they've been tanned or not tanned. But the Braisa does not want to deviate and move away from skins of a balabais and start telling us that if the skins belong to a professional, then if they've been tanned, they are mukta on Shabbos. The Braisa wanted to stay with the halachas of those skins belonging to a balabais. Says the Gemara Tanoi, it seems to be a machlokes Tanoim in another Braisa, whether the tanned skins of a balabais are mukta on Shabbos. Oyros shel balabais metaltelin oysam. The Tanakama say that the skins belonging to balabais, they're not mukta. Veshel umon ein metaltelin oysam. But those belonging to the professionals, ein metaltelin oysam, they are mukta. Rabbi Yossi oymer, Rabbi Yossi is the one that holds that even the tanned skins belonging to balabais are not mukta. Continues the Gemara. Hodur Yosvi v'komiboy Elohu. We saw at the beginning of the sugya on Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph that there were three chachomim sitting together, Rabbi Yonasan ben Achinoi, Rabbi Yonasan ben Elazar, and in front of them was Rabbi Chanina ben Choma. And they had a discussion regarding the hides that we've just finished learning that sugya. And now, in that group, they asked another question. Hodur Yosvi v'komiboy Elohu. They asked another discussion, another question. How did none, we learnt in the Mishnah, Ovois melochis arboim choser achas, there are 39 av melochis, basic melochis, that are also on Shabbos. The primary melochis that one is not allowed to do on Shabbos. Keneged me, to what do they correspond? Omer lehu Reb Chanina bar Choma. Reb Chanina bar Choma explains as follows. Keneged avoidois hamishkon. That we learn out from Psukim that those melochis that they did in the Mishkon, they are the melochis that are also to be done on Shabbos. Omaluhu Rabbi Yonasan Berbeloza. Rabbi Yonasan Berbeloza, he answered, Kach Omer Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yosi ben Lukunya, not corresponding to the 39 melachas that were done in the Mishkan, rather Kneged corresponding melacha, melachtoi, umeleches, shebatayra. If you count the amount of times it says either melacha, umelachtoi, umeleches in the Torah, Arboim Chosar Achas, you'll find there's 39. So when it says in the Pasuk, Lo yisase kol melacha, so which we normally translate, don't do any work. What it really means is, Lo yisase, don't do the amount of melachas, of kol melacha, of all the times the word melacha is mentioned in the Torah. Continues the Gemara, Boyer of Yosef, Rav Yosef asked the following question. And Rav Yosef, obviously, we'll soon see in the Gemara exactly what happened, but he counted and he found there were 40 times the word melacha mentioned in the Torah. One of them is obviously not referring to work and is not included in the 39. And we have to understand which one. Let's see the Gemara. Boyer of Yosef. Vayovoi habayso lasois melachtoi. When it says that Yosef HaTzadik went back to his master's home to do melacha, miminyonohu oiloi. Is that included or not included? Omale Abaya. Abaya said, V'leif sa sefer Torah v'limni. Bring a sefer Torah and count how many times it says melocha and if it's included or not. Mila Omar Rabbi Bar Bar Chonom Rabbi Yechonin loizozu mishoma chiviu sefer Torah umonom. Do we not find elsewhere in the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Lamed, for a different reason, they would bring a sefer Torah and they would count? So to here, bring the sefer Torah and count. Omar Leir of Yosef says, I'll explain to you what my question was. Ki kom sabkeli, mishum dechsiv amelocha hoiso dayom, miminyonahu. The question is, it says in the Pasuk that when Klal Yisrael brought all the materials to Moshe Rabbeinu to build the Mishkan, at some point it says in the Pasuk, vamelocha hoiso dayom, the melocha was sufficient, it was enough. So, miminyonahu, do we say that word, vamalocha, is included in the 39, is one of the 39, and what it means is, vamalocha oisa dayom, each malocha that they did whilst building the Mishkan was done exactly enough, dayom, exactly how much, not too little. Vaha, and the malocha, it says regarding Yosef HaTzadik, commander Omar Lasitz Rachov Nichnas, And the pasuk that says "Vayove Abayis Olasis Melachtoi" is not referring to work. It's saying that Yosef HaTzadik went to his master's home to take care of his needs, not to do work. In which case, you have 39 without the pasuk "Vayove Abayis Olasis Melachtoi." Oy Dilma or no. Vayove Abayis Olasis Melachtoi Miminyonu. When Yosef HaTzadik went to his master's home, he went to do work. So that word "melach" is referring to work, is one of the 39. And the pasuk that it says by bringing the materials to the Mishkan, when it says it doesn't mean that the work they were doing was enough. It means it means that the job they had to bring and to make sure the materials were brought for the Mishkan, that was done to completion. They didn't need to continue doing their job, but it was not talking about actually doing the work. And therefore, it's not one of the 39. Take what the Gemara says, we'll have to let that stand. And it's not clear which pasuk is one of the 39 and what each pasuk means. Continues the Gemara, Tanya Kamando Oma Keneged Avodas HaMishkan. We have a brisa that says that the reason that the 39 melachos, they correspond to the 39 melachos done in the Mishkan, and not necessarily to the 39 times that the word melacha is mentioned in the Torah. The Tanya, it says in the Braisa, in chayovin, one is only chayov for chilul Shabbos, on Shabbos, elo al melacha shekiyetzebo hoiso b'mishkon. Only if there was a similar type of melacha that was done in the Mishkan. Heim zoru, in the Mishkan they would plant, v'atem lo tizru, and you, on Shabbos, don't plant. Haim cut through, they would cut down what they planted. Va'atem loitik through, you should not cut down. Haim he'elu es akroshim mikarka le'agola, they would lift up the beams from the Rishus HaRabim on the ground up onto the carriages which were Rishus HaYochid. Va'atem loitachnisum Rishus HaRabim Rishus HaYochid, so you also should not carry from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid. Haim he'ridu es akroshim me'agola le'karka, they would take down the beams from the carriages which were Rishus HaYochid, put them onto the floor which was a Rishus HaRabim, v'atem lo itoitziyum Rishus HaYochid Rishus HaRabim, you should not carry from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos. Heim hoitziyu me'agola le'agola, they would carry the beams from one carriage to the next, v'atem lo itoitziyum Rishus HaYochid Rishus HaYochid, and you also should not carry from one Rishus HaYochid to a Rishus HaYochid. Ask the Gemara, Rishus HaYochid Rishus HaYochid Ma'ika Ovid. If I take something from one Rishus HaYochid and bring it to Rishus HaYochid, what melacha have I done? I haven't taken it out of one domain into a different domain. Abaye v'rova d'omra tarvayu v'itayim rav Ada bar Ava, it was either Abaye v'rova or rav Ada bar Ava, they explained, Rishus HaYochid Rishus HaYochid, derech Rishus HaRabim. It means, do not carry anything from one Rishus HaYochid via Rishus HaRabim to another Rishus HaYochid, just like they did in the Mishkan. And in the next shiur, we're going to continue the next sugya from here.